Welcome back to the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge podcast. This is our final episode of 2023, right, Javi?
It is. It's not the final episode, period. It's just the final episode of 2023, just because the year is about to end. Well, how's everything? I saw that we kind of... you got a little extra points than me last week in the last round, in round 16. But given that you have something like 15 credits more than I do, I would call it a victory, even if it's...
You so can close. Call it... I underperformed, I will say. So I'll let you call it a victory.
Yeah, because my good team, which is not that I'm using for the podcast, beat you by 40 points. So I'm satisfied with that.
Yeah, anyway. I got 100 points out of three between my captain, who was Larkin, and Wade Baldwin, and then my coach Wurtsakas, that got me 100, and then everything else combined together got me another 34 points. So that was nothing to be proud of.
Yeah, my team had 133 points, which I'm very proud of, considering that I have 101 credits. I had Wurtsakas too. Wilbekin was my captain and did really well, 48.4 points. I had Hesonja and Tavares, Mitoglu and Şengeli. And the only problem was that my bench didn't perform at all. And Devon Hall got me a -2 as a sixth man. That's what prevented me to do even better. But anyway, let's see if we can...
But you know, as one of my favorite coaches, who's no longer coaching in the EuroLeague right now, but as Coach Itudis loves to say, it's a marathon, Javi. It's a marathon.
It is a marathon. So we'll see. We're not even halfway through the season, but we're going to be halfway through the regular season after this round. And we have some good games this week, especially even some derbies. Is there anything in particular you want to talk about?
Well, let's start off with the derby, right? That's the biggest game as far as drawing attention. People are excited about it. The question is there anything fantasy-wise interesting about the derby? What do you think?
Well, it's hard to tell. I think that what's interesting about this is the way Fenerbahce is playing lately and which players are doing better since Saras arrived. And I think Wilbekin is number one in the list. Scotty Wilbekin has been playing amazing. He had a very good game in Berlin, and I think he's going to keep it going. I think he finds very comfortable with Saras, and that will be my number one choice. I still have to figure out how Papagiannis will fit into the system. And for the short run, maybe Motley would be also a good choice. But I have to pick one player. That's going to be Wilbekin. And I expect Guduric to do well, but maybe not in the short run, but in the long run for sure. What do you think? Well, since I talked about Fener, you can discuss Efes. But Efes right now, without so many injuries, it's kind of predictable, right?
Well, we seem to be speaking about Efes every week because we're trying to figure out what the situation is. And just last week, we spoke up Tyreek Jones, though I did mention I was a little bit nervous about Dan Oturu, who had gone bonkers in the Turkish League. And then there he was having a monster game in the EuroLeague. And I think that when you have two great players at one position for fantasy, you have no great players at that position because it's a big risk. It's similar to the things that we've spoken about before this year with Tavares, who right now is in great form. But when you have the best backup center in the league there, it limits your upside as a dominating center. I think that's the fear right now with going with either Jones or Oturu when it comes to Efes.
You know, I thought that it was a very good game for Milutinov, who I didn't own, but Milutinov played 1 minute. Why? Because Fall had, and I want to point this out, Mustafa Fall had the most unique game in probably New York history. He had 7 rebounds, 7 assists, and 8 blocks. Was the first player in over 20 years to get more than 7 blocks. And he got also 7 assists. I think this is unmatchable. This is something that is once in a lifetime. And that made Milutinov not play. You never know.
That could have been a triple double for the ages there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there are risks, and what I like to look for is players who I feel like are matchup proof. Every week, you know, you're going to get some the floor is high. You don't know what the ceiling is. The floor is high. Last week, I actually said that Chimoneke was matchup proof, and then his round 15 game was not so great. So
I have to say that. This week I've been writing game notes, which is something that we do for on the weekends, and I had the Saturday shift. And it's amazing how many notes I wrote that, I don't know, this player, Shabon Shields, had 10 out of 11 games in double digits. And then I checked, and the one that he didn't. I had him in fantasy challenge. This happened. This happened like 6 or 7 times with different players. It's okay. People can improve, but sometimes when you choose a player, he doesn't deliver, and then you sell him because he played bad, and then he delivers again.
Being patient. I'm going to ask you a question that every fantasy owner understands and can identify. When that happens, do you hold a grudge against that player?
No, never. Never. It happens.
I sometimes do.
No, because you can buy it again in the short run even. So
until they play well for me, I hold a little bit of a grudge.
All right. Well, good to know. Good to know. I don't know what. Okay, this is Istanbul Derby, but there's also
there's a couple other situations I think we need to monitor in the league. One is at Valencia, which has also been dealing with some injuries. They're playing great, but they're not as much of an explosive team. They don't generate as much fantasy points as some of the other teams. Mm. But when there's value, and the question is there value there? And what does their new player Justin Anderson, who As of recording, is not yet in the game. I don't know what his price will be, but what does he bring? And is he somebody you think is worth adding?
Not in the short run, because he needs adjustment to the team. Right now, without Ojeleye, I think that the player to keep an eye on, cheap also, 7.4 credits, is Xabi López Aróstegui. He's been playing better lately. He's been seeing a lot of minutes because of the situations. Most of the players around his position are injured or coming off injuries, like Hermansson in the two position. So López Aróstegui has a little bit of fantasy value. With that in mind, Valencia is not a typical, let's say, fantasy-friendly team. They are the best defense in the competition, but that means that their offense sometimes is not that good. And in order to have a high PIR, it's always better to go with the high-scoring team. So I will stay away from Valencia, but if I had to choose one player right now, that would be López Aróstegui, because he's cheap. He can be a surprise starter, let's say, and that would be my choice.
So I'm going to go in a different direction for even cheaper. I like Cassius Robertson, who's at 4.7 credits and has been getting more minutes lately. He's playing regularly in the 20 minutes per game. So there's a nice floor there. I don't know how great the ceiling is, but when we're always looking for some value in that, the end of your bench in that 4, 5, 6 credit guys, that's someone who I think is worth having. Unfortunately, I have not found a way to squeeze him into my lineup this week. Although, again, I can always make those changes until the last minute. But I think that's somebody, if you're looking for cheap value, he's somebody who I'd grab right now.
Yeah, right now, that's a domestic game. Valencia played the COVID and Granada, and they lost at home. Robertson had a PR of 5. López Aróstegui had a PR of 4. But they played 25 and 23 minutes each. So they're in the rotation. They're deep in the rotation. And one of these days, they're going to go off, especially Robertson, who is a shooter. And if he can catch fire, he can be a surprise factor in fantasy. I agree. Well, let's move on. Maccabi. Baldwin is not supposed to be injured. Is not going to play, apparently. And that opens a lot of situations.
He left their last game with an injury. And he has, he's, we don't know what his status, but I think it's safe to say there's a good chance he will not play. You know, it's good that Maccabi plays on Thursday, so you may be able to know that Thursday afternoon or evening before the games. But working on the assumption, I had Baldwin on my team last week. He scored 30. That was great. But I'm not willing to roll the dice at a player at his price that may not play. So if you don't want to have Baldwin, or forget if you don't want to, if Baldwin doesn't play, that opens up 30 plus minutes in the Maccabi backcourt. And the question is, who fills that? Who are you comfortable with? Is that something that you want to gamble on?
Well, consider that LeBron, Lorenzo Brown is going to get the same amount of minutes anyway. We're looking for somebody to get extra, and that should be Tamir Blatt, right? John Di Bartolomeo is coming off injury. The solid choice seems to be Tamir Blatt. But again, they're playing Zalgiris. They're playing on the road, and they're playing against a low-scoring team. Is it a good choice to go with Maccabi players this week? I have one. I bought Josh Nebo because he plays against his former team, and I have a lot of doubts at 10th center that actually Tavares didn't solve. Also, I have to say that Panathinaikos actor Athens is doing a great job and not letting us know if Matias Tesori is going to play.
And yes, that's the worst when you have expensive players like that and you're not sure. Hard adjustments to make last minute.
The way it looked like he would be out for at least a couple of weeks. at least, at the very least. But I mean, we'll have to wait and see until we get some injury report. But right now,
well, Di Bartolomeo has played well over 20 minutes in both of the last two Israeli League games, so he seems to be back and fit and healthy. Thing is, Tamir Blatt also played a lot of minutes. The two of them have each played over 50 minutes in the last 4 or 5 days. So maybe that means Cleveland ends up playing more minutes. It's hard to say. Cleveland's at 7.5 credits. Blatt is at 8. The person is a 4.6, and maybe the 4.6 again for those people looking for that cheap option at the end of the bench. That's something that to consider.
Totally. Again, I would stay away from Maccabi other than Nivo. But if I had to pick a player, that would be Blatt and maybe Cleveland. But Blatt would be my number one choice, almost for sure. Well, speaking of Panathinaikos, if Lesort ends up not playing, Antetokounmpo and Balcerovski will play at least 20 minutes each. And that's interesting.
Antetokounmpo is your guy.
Yeah, he's been okay. I mean, I'm waiting for him to have a monster game. And I know he will. But
It could be this week.
Let's say, I mean, I'm keeping him, but the problem, and that's, I think, the next topic, is the big number of games that they are played in turn one. That we have seven games on Thursday, and we have only two games on Friday.
Yeah, when I went to look at my team and to try to figure out what to do, the first thing I looked is, well, who can I get who's playing in turn two? I wanted to get some players at turn two, so I had some cover. And that's what I did. I first took the three players who I felt I didn't want, starting with Baldwin, who I knew I didn't want to continue, and the other players who I felt I need to switch, looking only to cut guys who are playing turn one so I could add more value at turn two. I assume you did something similar. Who do you think are the most important turn two players to have?
This is interesting. Of course, Alba plays Olympiacos, Monaco plays Barcelona. These four teams are extremely valuable unless you go and risk and go for six good players in turn one and just that. I mean, not even think about turn two. That's what I did. I went to, I have all 10 players in turn one, and I went for six good players. I mean, if you have a bigger budget, you can try to go for, well, the stars of the four teams that are not playing. I think, for instance, Jonathan Thiemann is a very, very valuable asset because he will do okay. He will be fine.
Yes.
And then if your starting center doesn't deliver, he'll be there for sure to help you out. Just like, let's say Mike James would be, of course, the number one choice out of the four teams who are playing on Friday. And in Olympiacos, they have two players per spot. But I see a Cannon. I think he would be a good one against a high-scoring team like Alba Berlin. He'll get a lot of open looks, and he could be above his average. Giannoulis Anantzakis comes off a very good game, too. As for Barca, it's difficult because they haven't been the best stretch lately, but I would go for probably against Monaco. I know that the number three position is probably their weakest spot, so maybe Nikola Kalinic would be my choice. But again, if I have to pick two players from Friday, that's Thiemann and Mike James, hands down. How about you? What do you think?
So that's what I did. Well, I went with Mike James. He's a player I added to have that safety net. And Gabriel Pocida, who I still think at 8 credits is very, very good value. I'm kind of surprised his price hasn't gone higher. So I made sure to get those two players. And that allowed me to take a little bit more risk at one position on turn one on Thursday, and still to have some cover if any of my other players who I believe in have a bad game, which is what happened last week. This way I'm covered. So I've got two guys who I'm comfortable bringing in, and that's a good feeling going into the round. Right. Who is your coach this week?
I'm going to show my team on the screen now for those who are watching on YouTube. If you're not watching on Spotify, don't worry. If you're listening to Spotify, we're gonna talk about it anyway. But I'm keeping Bartzokas because I think Olympiacos is on the rise. They played really well in Lyon. They play against Alba in Berlin. Could be a turning point in the season for them. And so I'm keeping Bartzokas. And my team features, because of course in between rounds I did a lot of changes and there are a lot of players who people don't know about. But my six main players are Kostas Lukas, who's a new signing. I really trust him against Zvezda. And Scotty Wilbekin, because he played really well last week. And I think he's, like I said, he's on the rise with Saras. I have three good forwards in Mitoglou, Hesonia, who has been fantastic throughout December, and Roland Smits, because I think, again, Maccabi is kind of weak at the four position. And Smits has been really solid lately. And my center is Nibo, because playing against his former team, he should be all right. The bench, Antetokounmpo as a backup center, Nitz Estina, who is starting to see a little bit of playing time with Saras, Davidas Giedraitis, who I think right now is in most teams because he's really cheap and he's in Zagreb's rotation, even starting right now, and Josep Puerto for the same reason. Since Valencia has a lot of injuries in the two and three positions, Puerto will keep playing, and sometimes he will be all right. Right now he's on the bench, and this will be my team. I'm not going to make any trades in between rounds because everybody's playing turn one. How about you?
So I've gone for two Real Madrid starters at center. One is Tavares, and then Ndiaye, who's listed at center, although he's been starting the games at power forward. He's at 4.8 credits, is it? Mm-hmm. I just think that there's a lot of value there, and he's the one guy who, if he doesn't play well, I don't mind. I flip him with Procida or James. And that way I'm also, if something goes wrong with Tavares and Ndiaye has a big game, then I can just flip it that way. So I'm covered at center. I'm sticking with Dozier and Nunn, who I spoke about last week, who I have a lot of confidence in. Nunn did not have a great week last week in terms of fantasy, but he had a great week on the court. He absolutely killed it. And I think the big, big fantasy games are coming.
He was a little bit lucky because Lesor got injured. And then because he's the leader in free throw shooting in the league, Ataman put him in the game to shoot the two free throws, which of course he made. And then he got a three-pointer and then he got another jumper. And then he basically sealed the deal himself. But he was on the bench with 2 minutes remaining.
Sometimes you have to be good to be lucky.
Yeah.
But also the game before that, he came alive in the fourth quarter. I just think the talent is there, and we'll see it. Dozier also did not have a great game in round 16, but I'm sticking with him. Mm-hmm. Bonzi Colson is another forward who I have. It's just a lot of energy. I don't know if I could build from scratch if I had unlimited changes, if I would have kept him. But at this point where I had to sort of make some decisions, I felt with Baldwin out, with the energy that Colson brings, he's somebody who I'm comfortable with having in my lineup. I'm keeping Shane Larkin as my captain. I'm lucky because I have, as I said before, I have Mike James on the bench, so I can always a second shot at captain. Gabriel Petito, as I said before. And I also have two Zalgiris players rounding out the bench who won't play. Gudratis, who you said, and Lavrinovicius, thank you, who also will not play. And I would love to have found a way to have subbed him out this week for somebody else. Or Gudratis at that point for somebody else, for some of the players you've even mentioned. But with some of the changes I had to make, I had no option. So this is the team I'm going with. But as always, we wait until Thursday afternoon until the final roster.
Yeah, well, I'm going to keep it that way because, I mean, imagine my most expensive player is 13 credits. Right now, I need to grow somehow until I get...
It feels good to have two players who are 17 credits.
Yeah, I mean, that will kill me, destroy me. I would never, for instance, just to compare, my best team has 114 credits. It's two players, two extra players. It is what it is. And like I said, I have to take the risk to have six good players and wait for the six of them to deliver, or I'll have a subpar week. But I like my team. I think everybody's going to play well. And that's pretty much it. So that's all we have time for. Remember, you can find us on Twitter all the time. Frankie is at Mr. EuroLeague. I'm Ganchetto with double T. And keep playing. If you have any doubts, we're there all the time. And of course, very good luck in this final round of 2023. And I hope you guys start 2024 with a lot of good things on and off the court, on and off fantasy.
That's right. Enjoy round 17. Happy New Year, and we'll catch you again next week.
See ya.